Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, WFAN.
It's 9:03 here on this Thursday evening. It's JJ John Jastrzemski. We're taking you through the next 3 hours right here on the Fan. Get aboard at 877-337-6666. And I'm fired up to welcome in a guy that I've gotten to know quite well. First, in listening to him for years on Bill Simmons' podcast. Now I've actually had some interactions with he and his wonderful friends. I cannot believe I've been introduced to this group because they're all-timers. The Parlay Kid, Brother Bry, Harry, who joins us every Thursday. And this guy's like the ringleader from Fox Bet Live, Jimmy Kimmel, and the author of You Can't Lose Them All, Tales of a Degenerate Gambler, and his ridiculous friends, the great cousin Sal, Sal Iacona. Sal, I apologize, by the way, you go from Jimmy Kimmel to this show. So, you know, I know you get the green room and the drinks and the food. Well, we might give you, you know, a celebratory high five at the end of the interview, okay?
That's well, all I got. Talk about, you know, I have to follow Harry. You had Harry on a couple hours ago?
That is accurate. Harry joined this show at 7:15 Eastern. That is true.
What do you guys talk? I mean, I guess you can't tell if he's topless or not, but every time I see him, he's in a tub picking like Mountain West games or some crap.
Well, I listen, know. That is a disturbing scene for a whole lot of people involved. That's like the equivalent of you wrestling Lennox Lewis, which I just rewatched. I had no idea about this Kimmel bit. I mean, you want to talk about outrageous. That was outrageous, Sal.
That was a pillow fight. I was a self-proclaimed pillow fighting champion of Jimmy Kimmel Live, and I had pillow fought. Who was it? Goldberg. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin and Lennox Lewis. Goldberg, actually, you know, we beat the hell out of each other. And then he grabbed onto my shirt, and I went to run away, and I ran right into a nail just above my eye. I still have a scar above it. So it gets. Pillow fighting is a dangerous way to live. But yes, on Kimmel, we relived the time when I pillow fought Lennox Lewis. He was beating me. I tried to get resourceful. There was a cake on stage. I threw it at him. It went in his mother's eye. Why his mother was on the couch, I have no idea. But also on the couch, Anna Nicole Smith and Don King. And then after, I tell the story on Kimmel, after the pillow fight, the executive producer says, you have to go and apologize to Anna Nicole Smith. I was like, why? I wasn't even anywhere near her. She's like, no. You hit her knee with a pillow, and it's swollen. And I was like, "Well, that sounds ridiculous. That just tell her no. That's ridiculous. That no one hits someone with a pillow and swells up." I went in there. She's sobbing. Her knee doesn't look any different than anyone else's knee. And the video shows that I wasn't within like 7 feet of her.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the Austin Powers line in the first movie. Who throws a shoe? Yeah. Honestly, I mean that kind of sums you up in a nutshell. And listen, bro. The amount of stories that you must have over the years from being around Jimmy, from being around Bill, and this crazy, degenerate, gambling sort of life that you have lived, it's a remarkable story, Sal. So first off, man, congratulations. And what in the world prompted you with all this stuff you got going on? You got Extra Points Pod. You're on Fox Bet Live. You're a busy man. What kind of inspired you to go and, dare I say, write a book?
Well, my agent thought about it, and he said, "Well, I could make 10% of like $600 or $700. So why don't I push this on Sal?" And it was my agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, and it was also Simmons. And Simmons, I was like, "Simmons, you were miserable writing your book." He's like, "Yeah, but mine was 7,000 pages, and I had to read 12 books. You don't have to do that." And I was like, "All right, I'm definitely not doing that. I'm never reading 12 books again." And so I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to map out how many stories I think could be told in conjunction with sports gambling that are somewhat appealing. And I got to like 40, And I was like, all right, maybe I could do that. 5 pages each. We got a book. But then you have to write the damn thing. And it took me a year. But I was happy to get it done.
Sal, I got to admit, my love of sports gambling, Mike and Chris, you know, Brent Musburger, you and Bill Simmons, and the podcast that you guys put together when I was back in college, listening to the old school BS report. I'm not trying to make you feel old, but I'm just giving you some real talk. So for you, I'm curious, how did you develop this love of sports gambling?
I don't know what it was. I tried to figure it out with Jimmy the other night, and I think it's in my genes, even though it's not in his genes. Like, we were related, but he has the I think when he gambles, because he's famous, it all has to go to charity if he wins. So what's the point, right? So it doesn't hurt as much. But my grandmother was big into bingo. My father and mother didn't really gamble. My grandfather bet the horses and played like keno. And my Aunt Chippy is addicted to slot machines and still is. And she taught me how to play video poker. And like I said on Kimmel's show, I used to stand 30 feet back. I delivered Newsday. I was a newspaper boy. I'd made like 30 bucks a week, and I would save up for the summer because I'd go visit her and I'd go visit Jimmy in the summer. And I'd play video poker. And we had a system where we had signals, and I would put up a three, and that meant to keep the three spot and drop the queens or whatever. And then by the end, we were just like screaming at each other what to do. And I made like 5 or 6 times my money. I really think if that day had gone differently, I might have done something else. Maybe I would have been an actuary or something. I have no idea.
Did you have like a sports gambling godfather? I'm assuming it was Jimmy the Greek. Had to be, right?
It was. He was about 2 or 3 years before me. Not that I don't remember him. I definitely remember when I was like 10 years old. But, I liked what they did with him. I don't know if you remember him at all with Jimmy the Greek. He wasn't allowed. I mean, he's still not allowed.
Isn't it crazy, Sal, off topic? Isn't it crazy thinking about when you grew up now? I mean, listen, if you were a 15, 16-year-old kid, you see the point spreads on the bottom line. Berman, Jimmy the Greek, these guys couldn't even acknowledge what the spread was in a game. It's insane.
Jimmy the Greek would say, I like the Washington Redskins over the Philadelphia Eagles, but small. He'd put his fingers together like tight, and if it was like Washington was favored by 9, that meant okay, bet the Eagles. But really, that was as close as anything. Like, Al Michaels would have been thrown off the air for just suggesting that a kick could bring something over the total, right? Like, it was just a different world. It would really come a long way.
Okay. Jimmy Kimmel and your relationship, it's incredible to think about. I mean, you guys are cousins. Mm-hmm. He's going through his career. When was the moment for you? As you're like following it, obviously you're invested, you're getting involved to some degree. When was the moment where Cousin Sal was like, holy smokes, this guy is an absolute superstar?
Well, it was right around where I was at I don't want to say my low point, but I was in New York, and I was an attorney, and I was like, I represented like 30 banks, and I would do closings like in one in Long Island at 8 a.m., and then I'd have to be in Manhattan at 11:30, and then I'd have to go over the Tappan Zee Bridge to Suffern at 3:30, and then I remember once my car died on the Tappan Zee Bridge, and it was pouring rain, and I was like, I got to get the heck out of here. That's it. I got to get the hell out of here. That we can't do this anymore. And I talked to Jim, and he's like, look, why don't you come out here? I'm getting a game show called Win Ben Stein's Money. You could be a writer on it. I do these syndicated sports radio bits. You could write those, and maybe good things will happen for them. So he really did save my life, and it was right then when I was like, all right, this guy's going. I had always done, like, radio bits for him. He was fired from 7 different markets in 10 years before he landed at K-Rock in L.A., and then that's when he got Ben Stein's money and all this other stuff, and he called me out, and thank God he did. It really, really worked out. I just paid off my law school loan like 4 months ago.
So, nothing like paying off those loans, even you with that Hollywood money. Law school ain't cheap. You know that, Sal. Ain't cheap.
What a wasted degree. Did nothing.
Hey, listen, the idea of you and all those great talents going to waste in the courtroom, that's no fun. That's no fun. Let the serious people do that. We need you entertaining the masses. Now, I know this relationship between you and Simmons is incredible. I mean, the podcast you do, it's must-listen for me every Monday. I start my day, I'm either celebrating wins or I'm lamenting some horrible beats. Right. And I know I'm going to listen to you guys. How did you and Simmons link up? I know it was on the Kimmel show, but kind of describe to the audience how that like friendship evolved over the years.
Well, Jimmy did like the Shaq roast. We went to Washington, D.C., and he roasted Shaq. And Simmons had the column on Page 2 on ESPN, and he would do like, he loved that roast. And, you know, it helps if you love what Jimmy does. And Jimmy noticed that Simmons loved him, and he took to his style of writing. And, you know, Simmons would do the one-line observations, you know, and he'd move on from Lindsay Lohan to the Michael Jordan. It didn't matter, you know, within like a paragraph of each other. And Jimmy convinced him to move out to write for Jimmy Kimmel Live. And he's like, my cousin Sal is going to be your best friend. He loves football, he loves gambling, and he loves wrestling. And that was it. That was like the holy trilogy. And from there, we hit it off swimmingly. And we would bet in the office. You know, back then, like the Kimmel Live was actually live. It would start at 9 p.m. on the West Coast. So we'd be watching games and watching the show and doing everything else. So it was right then that we knew. And we would do guest the lines just amongst ourselves on Monday morning in the office. So, and then Simmons said, let's turn this into a podcast. And like, what the hell is that? And he's like, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. So
that's crazy to think about, man. Do you think guest the lines has helped you over the years in handicapping games or total nonsense?
I think it has in that we had like a theory, right? So we would guess the lines. And if we were off by 2 points or more, we would go the other way from where we were off. So let's say I guess that the Chiefs were going to be a 5-point favorite. And they're like, nope, they're a 3-point favorite. Like, oh boy, I'm way off on this. I should take Tampa. You know, so you end up playing mind games. But then like anything else, any table game theory or anything, it all ends up like 50%. But beyond that, I don't think that it's helped much. I don't know. Has it helped you?
No, I mean, listen, I like to think it does. You know, I like to think that I'm ahead of the curve. And then right. I go 0-5 in the Super Contest in a given week. And I say, to hell with all that. That's why we're all gambling. And that's why it's, you know, a little luck involved. Yeah, I have Lady Luck's got to be on your side, Sal, in any form of life, bro. And I'm sure you know that better than anybody. What was the craziest bet you and Simmons had? And I know you spent a ton of time in the back room drawing up stuff for Kimmel's show. There had to be like a crazy sports bet that like distracted you guys, that kept you guys engaged. Please share one at least with the audience. You got to do it.
There was one where we were betting the offshore accounts there, which is a no-no. I don't recommend that to anybody anymore. But we were betting the offshore accounts, and we had the Cavaliers were getting 9 points against Miami. And the offshore had it that Miami was getting 9 points. So we bet both sides. We bet Miami getting 9, and we bet Cleveland getting 9. I'm like, oh, my God, we have some middle here. Because the glitch, you know, the glitch offered us this opportunity to get an 18-point middle on this crazy bet. Well, what happens? We empty our accounts. We do it on both sides. They cancel the bet where the bad line went up. And so now we have all this money on Cavaliers plus whatever it is. We got killed. And then we were on the phone with people in Costa Rica for the next 3 weeks. And, of course, we never got any money back. But I
naturally,
remember that being very distracting.
Naturally. Yeah. You're going to the Costa Rica route, Sal. Yeah. You might as well wave the white flag, bro. That's a loss, man.
Exactly.
That's a loss. Now, I heard this on Kimmel.
Yeah.
The audience may not have heard this on Kimmel. You got to be kidding me with the fact that you were invested, as I was, in La La Land the year Jimmy did the Oscars. You got to actually sit there, and it was the last leg of a parlay. La La Land cost you big. That's sickening, dude.
Did you
sickening.
Have it too? What do you mean you were vested?
I might have. It was significant to some.
That was crazy because I couldn't leave well enough alone. What a great honor this is. I'm writing. My cousin's hosting the Oscars. He's asked me to write for him. I'm part of this group. We loved every step of the way. And then I have to sully it with this parlay, which had like, you know, best actor, best supporting actress, director. All I needed was the fifth leg, La La Land. It had won all the precursors. It had won the BAFTA. It had won the Golden Globes. I'm sitting pretty. It's such a Hollywood movie. Everyone's so full of themselves, right? And they announce it as the winner. So if you're going to live bet La La Land after they announce it as the winner, you can't do it, right? Because it's announced as the winner. And then I say, like, five producers in ponytails men running around scrambling. I'm like, uh-oh, this doesn't look good. And sure enough, they reverse the decision, and they say that Moonlight is the winner. But that was really...
Sal, I got to be honest. As great as the Oscars may have been, I'm sure the after parties were awesome.
Yeah.
That had to put a damper on the night, bro.
Yeah, everyone's celebrating. I was like stunned. I was like, wait, because you feel like you're robbed, right? You feel like... At some point, you feel it's personal. I have one more story like that, if you don't mind. It's in the book. I had bet on, the hot dog eating contest right there in your backyard, right?
At Coney Island, of course.
And the dog days of summer, you're just sick of betting baseball by July 4th, right? You want to sink your teeth in.
You're sick of laying 240 on the Yankees with their fourth starter on the mound. It's
right,
not fun.
Exactly. On a getaway day, you don't even know. Right, exactly. They don't have, the three guys aren't in the lineup aren't regular. You got to take a... So one thing that's good, Joey Chestnut wins that competition every year, but you got to lay $10 to win a dollar on him, right? So what you want to do is bet the over-under and how many hot dogs are consumed, and that's what I did. The over-under was 72.5. I went under. I'm like, it's going to be a sweltering hot day. He had already broken his record the year before. He's going to slow play it. He'll still beat everybody. And sure enough, I was looking good. ESPN has the graphic. He has 60 hot dogs eaten with a minute left. He ends up with 64. That's an easy cash, right? I'm in. And then the idiot carnival barker guy with the crazy hat on interviews him afterwards. He's like, 64, not your best performance, but good enough to beat the field. And Chestnut says, actually, I had 74. They forgot to count a plate. And he's like, 74, a new world record. Congratulations. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? You could just say you ate 10 more than you did, and it changes. This is insane. This is why this will be never be regulated by a real serious sports book. Can you imagine if Steph Curry comes on? They're like, Lisa Salter's like, oh, sorry, Steph, you only had 22 points. You guys lost by 6. He's like, no, I had 32. Oh, 32? There's going to be a game 7. Like, this doesn't work in any other sport. I was losing my mind. So these fringe sports are not good for me.
Sounds like pro wrestling. We got the great Cousin Sal. Check out his book. You can't lose them all. Unbelievable. I got to ask you this, Sal.
Yeah.
From a sports standpoint, is there any bet that would somehow, some way compare to the La La Land? Let's take the hot dog eating contest out of this for a second. A sports bet, I'm sure there's been thousands over the years, but one that has like kept you up, you know, days upon days upon days on end.
Well, I had Oklahoma State over Central Michigan. It was years ago. It was about 7 years ago. And just think of this scenario. Up 4 with the ball, 4 seconds left. Fourth down. Mason Rudolph's the quarterback. He goes back to pass, throws it out of bounds. Fine. 4 seconds expires. I should win. I got him on a big money line parlay. They're supposed to kill him. But I needed to close out a big money line parlay. The referees huddle together. They decide it's intentional grounding. They decided Central Michigan gets a play, an untimed play. And then 14 laterals later, Central Michigan wins the game. And it's just one of those things where you collapse and you're like, you know, how many times have you announced you're quitting gambling? Like, that was one of probably 73 times. And I don't think I'll ever get over that.
I can totally understand that. Now, because we have Harry on the show, and because I'm tight with Brother Bri and the Parlay Kid, and they're you know, big supporters of mine, I have never heard how you have been, you know, linked with these gentlemen. Is it a family thing? Are you guys friends from way back? How in the world did you come into contact with these hooligans that I love so much?
I went to high school with the Parlay Kid. I was dating his sister, Brother Bri's sister.
Wow, that's complicated immediately.
Well, and I wanted to show off, and so I joined the wrestling team. It's a big wrestling family, right? And I was getting crap kicked out of me for a whole season just to show off in front of a girlfriend, you know, curry favor with her. So, but Darren and I, the Parlay Kid, became fast friends, and Brother Bri. Brother Bri's younger than us, and obviously we're good pals too. But Harry I met in college. And he introduced me to parlay cards, and we got in bad with the local bookie, and we lost hundreds of dollars, and it might as well have been millions, because we didn't have it. And the local bookie liked us, though, and so he had us work off our debt reffing basketball games. He ran the local rec league for 13-year-old basketball boys, and we would bet, and it's like, okay, we appreciated it, $6 a game, we worked it off. Meanwhile, we'd still be working it off at $6 a game. It wasn't worth it. But we became so bored with it, Harry and I began betting each other on the game.
Oh, I love it. You guys knew the high school teams. You were setting the lines. You guys are sick. I love it.
And but we're reffing the game, so there'll be phantom like charge calls and, and the kids start getting
so basically there. You were Tim Donaghy before there was a Tim Donaghy.
Yeah, we didn't even have him to look up to. We had no idea what we were doing, but we wanted to bet each other $20 and $50 a game, and it became chaotic. The kids were freaking out. The parents were they followed us out, and we didn't have a car, so they would just follow us as far as they wanted to walk with us, you know, because we were just walking home. And finally, the local bookie's like, "All right, you guys are out. I try to give you a break. That was it. Figure something else out." So I don't even know how we paid it back, but we were not meant to be referees.
Now, Sal, all these shenanigans, Jimmy Kimmel, Harry, Brother Bry, what inspired you to now take it to the next level? Extra Points Podcast Network, all the great stuff you do with Fox. I don't know how you stick and sit with Clay Travis 5 days a week. God bless you for that. But, you know, more power to you. You guys have a lot of fun, though. You, Rachel, Todd Furman, the whole crew. How did you make that, like, transition into saying, wow, this is something I want to do. Do it for career. Do it 5 days a week.
You know what we have going for us, which is great? You talked about, first of all, I think it works for me because I don't take myself seriously, right? Like,
you have to. That's the way
I think
to do
that's
it.
What people like about me and Simmons. Like, we'll come on Monday and be like, "We got crushed. That's it. I don't know what to say. Everything we gave out Friday went down." Whereas, you know, you get a lot of these sharps. So like, we're hitting 58%, and we gave out our best bet, and we're doing great, and Mac action and this. Like, that's not me. You know, I want to be honest. I don't want to put a spin on it. If we lose, we lose. And also, I think people like hearing about people losing because that's what they're going through. But more than that, JJ, this is a great business because we could lose six in a row and people will still listen to our Super Bowl pick, right? We probably won't theoretically lose too many listeners as a result. So I figured as long as I have that going for me, I don't have to be right. I just have to be honest about not being right. Then it works, you know? So that's really it in a nutshell.
Now, you are a New Yorker through and through, even though you've turned to the dark side and moved across the country. Do you ever have days, Sal, where you say, "Wow, I miss being in New York"?
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of buddies out there. And
you got to miss the pizza more than anything, bro. The pizza and the bagels. You guys can't compare out in California. I'm sorry.
Can,
just
but
can't.
But also, there's Gold Belly now. I can have it in 2 days. And
that's a good point.
A
you know, I didn't
stuff.
Think about that. That's a good point.
It's not 100%, but you reheat some of this stuff, and it gets to 80, 85%. Prince Pizza, Prince Street Pizza, and, you know, a lot of they got a lot of the New York stuff out there. What's your favorite out there?
Wow, that's a loaded question, man. So I'm a Staten Island guy, so I got to give Lee's and Joe and Pat's love. You ever come New York City?
I've had the Staten Island. Yep.
Listen,
yep.
It's amazing. John's a Bleecker, and then L&B down in Bensonhurst, the square at L&B, and Prince Street is great. I mean, I'm leaving a bunch off, Sal. I can't give you one, man. That's the problem with being here in New York. I can't give you one pizza place. Can you?
L&B. I did a hidden camera at L&B.
And, oh, nice. That's right.
But I was blown away because I usually get a minute and a half, 2 minutes to spend with a customer screwing around. That is so fast. They're like, "Hey, you got to pick up the pace. We have to sell some squares here." I'm like, "Oh, shit. All right." So I ended up totally turning around.
Okay. You're a Big Mac guy. You're a big Cowboy guy. Your next championship, I give you a choice of any of your teams to go and win. Who would it be?
I'm going Mets. I have to go Mets. I feel like we took a step back this week. You know, we're not getting Springer.
You think you ended up with Bauer? A lot of Mets fans calling the show, Sal. I think they ended up with Trevor Bauer, and I do too.
That's what I'm thinking, right? But I thought there was going to be something with Mets, and it was going to be connected. So I don't even know. I know Uncle Steve wants to abide by this luxury tax thing, and I'm hoping, I'm praying this game stopped. I feel like we've hit things were going so great, and then that idiot GM is sending texts, and now this GameStop thing may or may have something to do with the Mets, and we don't get Spring. I'm like, oh, geez. I'm like clutching my chest. I'm like, this is the Mets. Now we know. But no, it's still it would bring such joy to New York. Can you imagine not having having superstars not want to come to New York? It's finally happening with this guy who's opening his purse, and we're trying to figure something out. But I think we're on a good roll with the Mets. And the Cowboys, I don't know, Mike McCarthy might be the second coming of Jason Garrett.
I was going to say, you got the Clapper out of town, and now you got a coach who basically is freewheeling on the sideline. But in fairness, Sal, if Dak doesn't get hurt, you probably win the division last
Isn't
year.
Isn't that it, right? We would have had gone 7-9 to win the division, and Tampa only beat the Washington team by one score, so who the hell knows? But, I would like to be excited. But boy, you know, when Aaron Rodgers was mad at his coaches for 3 hours after they screwed up, I was like, can you imagine if he's reunited with McCarthy? And then I said, you know what, no one deserves that. He should stay with the Packers. It looks like that.
Have you locked in a play yet for the Super Bowl?
I was thinking about it today. Have you thought about what your record is?
In Super Bowl games, I don't want to jinx it, Sal, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Since I started at FAN, you want to know how many Super Bowls I've lost?
Yeah.
Since 2011, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, I've lost one Super Bowl.
Wow.
And when you're going to lose, you lose in crash and burn fashion. Broncos, Seahawks. Game was over 5 minutes into the game.
Oh,
but listen, I can't, Sal, I don't want to be tooting my own horn and saying that I've been over, 55%. For whatever the reason, the Super Bowl game has found a little dust my way. Just saying.
That's great, because I was figuring out the other way, and I think in Tom Brady's Super Bowls, I'm either 2-7 or 3-6 at best, including that awful Seattle game and that just as awful Atlanta game.
Well, in fairness, I had New England in both of those games, so you could put a star next to those two. Let's be honest. You really could.
A win's a win. The whole thing is, do I want to be on... Are you going Kansas City or Tampa Bay?
Well, I can tell you I have a 14-1 ticket. Me and your guy, Harry, have been invested in the Bucs for a while.
Oh, wow.
So the question is, it's not, Jimmy Kimmel money, but we got to debate if we're going to hedge a little bit. I mean, listen, I'm rooting for Tampa to win. It sounds crazy as a guy who roots for the Dolphins, Sal, but I'm at the point now, let Belichick look bad. Make Simmons cry seeing Brady win a Super Bowl in a different uniform. It's not the Patriots. I'm okay with that.
I'm with you. I want that, too. I want that so much. And to think that Belichick isn't caring about it, this is killing him, right? I would have rather both of them not make the playoffs, but that's not possible. So might as well have Belichick be upset about it. I think Tampa Bay, look, what is Brady going to get embarrassed in the Super Bowl? They'll at least be down 8 with 4 minutes left, and they'll probably have the ball, right? So, or they'll be winning. I think those linebackers are quick enough to stay with Kelce and Hill as good as anyone can, right? It's not going to shut them down, but I think it's a close game. If I can get that hook, get 3.5, I think that's the way to go.
Sal, final one, and I appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Favorite episode you were ever a part of on the Jimmy Kimmel Show?
Let's see. I love when we went to Brooklyn all those times.
By the way, after Corona, I hope we can make that happen. Hop, skip, and a jump from my apartment. Just
oh,
saying.
Really? Oh, yeah. Let's. I really hope it's October. It's usually that third week in October, right before Halloween. Let's see. Best episode ever. Best episode ever was probably when we did an episode on the bus in Santa Monica, and it just ended up being just a whole bunch of regular people getting on, and Jimmy did an hour around. There's not a much to say about it, but like we picked up Paula Abdul on one stop, and we picked up celebrities on different stops, and they were mingling with regular people and a lot of irregular people too. So it was outside the box. It was many, many years ago. You probably can't find it anywhere, but the bus show was one of my favorites.
Cousin Sal Iacono, I cannot wait to finish this book, Sal. I can't. You can't lose them all. I mean, it might as well be our mentality, right? So to take it and name a book after it, incredible. Bro, listen, I'm so happy for your success. You're one of the all-time greats. I've loved listening to you for years, man. So now that we actually can text one another, it's a thrill for me. I'm not trying to blow smoke, bro, but I really mean that.
I got you, buddy. Thank you so much, JJ. I'm a big fan of what you're doing, and by that I mean taking Harry off my hands for 10 minutes every 2 weeks.
I try. Sal, I love you, bro. All the best, all right?
Take care, pal. Thanks.
There you have it. That's the great Sal Iacono. You can't lose them all. And his book is a riot. Listen, he is a riot. I've been listening to him on Bill Simmons' podcast for over a decade. Jimmy Kimmel, unbelievable stuff. Pick up that book, by the way. Can't lose them all. 877-337-6666. We get back to your calls. A lot of Deshaun Watson reaction. We'll get to the Mets. And Sal seemed a little bummed that George Springer's not coming to town. I think that's a sentiment amongst a whole lot of Mets fans. I get it. But you probably chose between he and Michael Conforto. You getting Trevor Bauer instead? You might be. We'll come right back.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.